What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast here on rotogrinders.com. I'm David Kitchen, joined by Davis Matic and Peter Overzet. Guys, how's it going?
So good. It's going good, Dave. It's going real good. You know, I was just saying I spun up a Swolecast channel in my Discord so we could all talk about the show. Everyone would love to have you in there. I think this is a big step forward for our community.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. What else should we do for the community this off season?
Well, I think Dan Bach has already started to do stuff for the community. Throwing Swolecast shirts on the ground at his garage sale. Did we ever get an update on if that sold?
I don't know.
I think DB was too ashamed of. Like, I don't think he wanted to continually update people. I have not seen the DFS community come together to dunk on someone like that since, like, the last time Justin McMahon tweeted something about data that was wrong.
So just to update people that might be lost, Dan decided to have a yard sale. You know, he's picking up, moving to good old Nashville, Tennessee, and just wants to get rid of some stuff, which I think we can all appreciate, right? Like, just getting rid of some stuff. I saw the Swolecast shirt, though, and I just had, like, a different reaction where I was like, why? Why would you sell that? Like, like, you got that for free at, from the office. Like, why would you sell that?
Dave, I'm trying out this actual stream software. I just requested to share my screen. Can people see this?
Yeah,
this
they photo? Can see it. Yeah.
All right. I'm now the head producer of this show. I mean, everything about this is hilarious. I mean, everyone has already pointed out Florida garage sales. You just chuck everything on the ground. It's positioned next to a pair of used boxers in a random throw pillow. Like, what the hell is going on down in Florida?
The used boxers is really amazing.
And I think the people really got upset on it touching, like, all these items touching the bare ground, but maybe that's par for the course.
That's Dan just how said, they do things in Florida.
Well, just like, you know, that's where, like, maybe people think there's some treasures here because it's not like a professional setup. Like, they're really going to one up the people. And then Dan had his two kids haggle with their toy prices, which I appreciate. Did you guys ever go to yard sales when you were little?
Oh, yeah. That
a
was
you. I don't think that was like something we did on the weekend. I went a couple times.
That was a big activity. Like, I remember growing up in the summers, my mom would take us to garage sales, specifically on like Friday mornings. It would be the thing. And then it inspired us at our garage sales. My brother and I, you know, we'd sell cookies, lemonade. And our goal was always to
see your first entrepreneurial venture.
Yeah. And there would be times we would make more money than my parents, you know, selling our, you know, shitty secondhand stuff, just slinging hot dogs and stuff.
So you were like Gary Vee before Gary Vee was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, where exactly. Do you think he learned it? Like, why do you think he's such a successful engagement farmer these days?
So we're going to get, we're talking about best ball a little bit. If you have any comments on the show, please leave them in the chat. And if you're watching this later, just leave them on the channel. And if you can give us a favorable, preferably a review on iTunes, we haven't had one of those in a while. So I'm just asking nicely. But let's get on to engagement farming because, Peter, that's kind of your, I don't want to say bit, it's just your next step.
Yeah. I mean, I let me just make sure my premise is correct. Do you guys agree that there's been kind of a meta shift on Twitter as far as how to do Twitter?
Well, I think it's existed for a while. I just think the fact that Holka and Vetri have been getting so many retweets and stuff has opened people's eyes to it. Like, I would assume that that stuff has existed on Twitter for months. I don't know. I assume it's been, it's been a big part of the algorithm for months, but it's now just coming to a sphere where we are more likely to see it.
For the fantasy community, for those like myself that are like kind of in the business community, it's been a thing.
I will say I started this video even before the sub niche thread meta. I mean, this was more about tweeting out things that you don't care about, and you don't care even what anyone responds, solely for the purpose of getting that notification. And that there's almost no end goal to it other than pure dopamine response, where the threads now feel more calculated, right? Like you're trying to grow your followers. That's the reason you do threads. Engagement farming, you're not even doing it to grow your followers. You just want that interaction. And so that's kind of what I'm exploring right now, Dave.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If I could just give one piece of advice, well, I've already given some advice on your video. We can link it later on. I'll put a little card here for
Swolecast bump would be huge. Thanks, yeah. Dave.
Right. So I already gave some alpha there, but I would just say, you know, in order to grow a crop, it doesn't just start with like one like major thing. It's a lot of stuff. So, you know, people think about me and my fleet history and started off with a bang. And then after that, it was tough to follow up and tough to follow through. And so that's why I would just say, just stick with it, you know?
I appreciate that. Yeah, there is an interesting dynamic playing out with this video where it feels like I'm going to have more comments than views. And I'm not quite sure how that's happening. You know, I spent so much time fixating on engagement farming on Twitter. Maybe I should have figured out how to get more views on YouTube.
Well, after you do this, you can actually set up a tweet. Here's how I got more comments than views on YouTube, a thread. And then just do step by step on how you did that. So can we get a peek inside the curtains as far as what might be next on the farm journey?
You know what? You know, it's kind of a lot of, one of the things I like about content, Dave, is this idea of it, you know, being ever evolving, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like the idea of putting this stuff out in the world and then seeing kind of what other people do with it, how they interpret it. And to be completely honest, I don't know what my next steps are, but I've learned a lot from the community reading these responses, lots of great tips about farming. Why don't I read yours, Dave? I should read yours here. So you said, when you start a plant from seed indoors before the first frost, you can get a warming mat to help raise the temperatures of the soil. Likewise, the same could be said for your online seeds. Warm them up, watch them come out, thin out the bad ones, and let the strong ones survive. If you don't want to start from seed, just pull a mattock and take a cutting from an existing plant, stick it in the soil, and grow it from there without attributing where you got it from. That really resonated with me.
Yeah. I mean, this comes from, I think gardening kind of falls in the same line as farming, but I do like gardening. And
what's your setup looking like right now?
My gardening setup?
Yeah, what do you got growing?
Well, I put like two Boston ferns out in the front as the classic kind of
Ghost bus. Celtics.
Oh, just you're just growing plants. You're not growing vegetables.
No, not yet. But I will. I think vegetables.
You don't have an herb box, dude.
I think vegetables might be next year because I got to clear out some. You know, I do own over an acre of land. I don't want to brag here, but. Yeah.
Well, it just seems to me that your post indicated that you're some sort of master gardener, and I have an herb box and watermelons and tomatoes growing that were all sprouted from seeds, Dave. So, he who has not sprouted from seeds cast the first stone.
But here's the thing: like I'm getting it right. You know, I'm kind of in the same position you are as far as purchasing a house. This is the first kind of season that we're in. So I'm also doing the little things, preparing the soil for next year, kind of mapping things out. We still got some things growing here, like hydrangeas. There are crepe myrtles out there in the front that can be trimmed, like a knockout rose bush in the back. But as far as like, I want to be really nice, you know, hostas in the shade only zone, giving some pops of color with like some climbing stuff. It's going to be,
because I mean, for a while, I thought you were going to go the dad influencer route on Instagram, but it sounds like you might be able to go kind of the, you know, the botanist influencer route, the way you're describing this garden.
Well, that could be part of the dadfluencer lifestyle.
Yeah, it is. It is part of the dadfluencer lifestyle.
Why do you look like you're going on a fly fishing trip right now.
Okay, this is actually my beach outfit. This is what I wear to the beach as a dad now. I have the ability to wear this and not feel shamed because it just goes in line with being a dad. So I have, you know, the safari hat.
Not if you're gonna be a dadfluencer on Instagram. You gotta wear cute shit.
You gotta look like a cool dad.
Yeah.
No, but that's, guys, you don't understand. That's part of the process where I look like this, and then I use the dadfluencer program on Instagram to become the hip guy where they can see the before and the after, but I still have to stick true to my roots. This shirt actually is UV resistant. So it protects me from lots of sun that I don't need, that my skin does not need.
Okay. Also, another thing I wanted to tell you, Dave, I saw one of your Instagram stories the other day.
Yeah.
I thought you were a man of the people. I mean, the driveway, your new driveway, I think that thing was like a mile long. I mean, was it leading up to a new estate? Like, what did you, what's going on down there?
I've got really nice grass, such nice grass, and I mow it myself. And it's therapy for me. It is the most therapeutic thing in the world. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we have this place, we wanted a place with it at least an acre. That's me. I'm still a man of the people. I'm still cutting my own grass. Like people, you know, in the neighborhood walk up and like, oh, who does your yard? And I tell them, I do.
Push or riding mower?
Zero turn. Come on now. I did the first time I did a push mower, and it took like 3 hours, and I'm like, I can't do this every time.
Man of the people. Yeah, man of the people has a riding mower. You know who mows their big ass lawn with a push mower?
I was gonna ask you, Davis, if you mowed your own yard.
Yeah, I mow my own yard and I do a push mower because I'm a man of the people.
I mean, my last house I did a push mower as well, but how long does it take you to push mow?
About an hour.
All right. Got some comments. Salt Life tattoo, but now look at me. all right. Dylan says, growing MJ, Michael Jordan out here in the sunny Southwest. Realize I should have paid more attention to my mom's gardening tips when I was a kid. Yeah, good luck with those with that hydroponic stuff, Dylan. Growing MJ. All right. Let's
move on.
We'll
tell you what that means after the show, Kitchen.
No, thanks. Let's move on. Speaking of smoking, that's another show too.
What? No, I want to hear Dave's take on smoking.
I'm talking about grilling. However, I was in New York City last week, and the city has a new smell to it since last time I visited pre-COVID.
Hot garbage smell? That's a universal summer smell in New York.
No, MJ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did it offend your puritanical Southern sensibilities?
No. In fact, I almost went and got a gummy, but you know, Drew said he had to leave the next day. Dinkmeyer did, and I didn't want to be alone. So,
When was the last time you were high, Dave?
On life, every day.
That last time I was on that ride and mower, son.
That last mooncat rise, you know, after the moonbirds,
the correlated moon, right? How dumb are people in NFTs? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, so I will just say that, like, last week in the big city, you could feel just the whole like collapse of the markets and NFTs. This is when like Luna went down too. Like everyone was talking about it, and I just wanted to go touch some grass.
Well, you said you met Rovell. Did you see him crafting some market tweets in real time? Did you see how the sausage gets made?
I did see him look at his phone during the presentation that was kind of given. But that was it. I didn't see anything crafted. I just said hello. Someone we were talking to, he came up and they introduced us, and that was it. Because I feel like me and Rovell's relationship is more of a kind of a long term play, and I didn't want to use up everything in the short term in that kind of environment. We need more of like an intimate setting for like a one on one talk you know.
It was like when Davis wanted to immediately ask Laird to come on the podcast, and I told him we need to slow play it a little bit.
And look at what an amazing friendship that has blossomed into. You were right. So, you were right to slow play it, Pete.
Just get a little too eager. But yeah, as far as you guys, like, you're with everything, the markets, inflation, gas, I imagine those gas powered vehicles you're using for farming, Pete. I mean, it's how are you feeling?
Yeah, I had to get a second job to be able to fill up both my tractors. It's been brutal out there.
Try paying for a wedding in this economy.
Well, I'm trying to buy a house in this economy, which is pretty
bad. You just need to back off. You just need to not do that right now.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
I mean, why are you trying to lock in the Fed just hiked rates again?
Hey, anytime you have a decade high interest rate that you can
I want the interest rates to go higher. I need something to alleviate the sell pressure.
You can always refi too. So it's probably fine.
So you have, like, Pete, we went through this with Davis, like, with you, are you with your crypto investments?
Mm-hmm.
Are you liquidating those?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't have to liquidate any crypto to buy my house.
I did.
could have had 2 or 3 acres if you held on to a couple more acres.
Good whole neighborhood. All right, Pete, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I mean, at this point, I'm stubborn with stuff of, like, not wanting to sell for a loss. And so I'm pretty good at sitting on my hands. Sometimes that works to my advantage. Sometimes it doesn't. But I legit haven't sold, even attempted to really sell anything.
Can we get rid of some of our jointly owned Top Shots?
We can try. I mean, Brick and I tried to list one of our Cosmics, and it's been up forever. And I think
can we list the Ja Morant that me, you, Pat, and Brian own?
Yeah, I mean, I'll list whatever. I'm
like about done. Like, it's like they keep changing the rules. I didn't even read the blog post. They top collector score is gone. Now it's Top Shot score. I can't.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with if you are trying to keep up with it all the time. I will say there's something freeing about just collecting and just...
Which is what I'd like to do. I'd like to just buy... along
with every single Discord ping.
Yeah, I would just like to buy $4 Lou Dort Momes from now until the end of time. And that's really all I want to do on their platform.
I bet they'll allow that.
Can I tell you something that I don't think I've ever said on the show before?
Does this involve Darius Garland?
No, but that was, man, what a call. Davis is partially responsible for me selling my Bored Apes.
Because sold my Tyler Herro and you didn't want to get, well, you wanted all to sell the top.
No, because of all the stuff you had to go through with your underwriter, of that one transaction.
I should clarify. I think looking back, I think I just had an actual dumb person as my underwriter.
I don't think so, because when I heard about this, I contacted my loan guy and he was like, he's like, what? Like, he was trying to ask me what I was talking about. And he's like, just have like your bank statements ready, like the past 2 or 3 bank statements ready. And then they don't have to worry about that. So it just has to clear your account.
That's not even true, bro. Because they will ask you where the money in your bank statements comes from.
No, but if you have your last 3 bank statements.
Oh, yeah.
It's just your starting. So as long as,
yeah.
Right.
Yes. So that is what the problem was.
During this bear market, all that was liquid at that time were the apes. And that was one of the reasons why I sold, not all of them, but that was one of the reasons. So,
well, that reminds me, because I've been dealing with my mortgage lender on some stuff.
Yeah.
And could the Swolecast maybe, like, draw me up like a 10-year contract?
We got you. We'll just say you were employed for the past 2 years and you don't have to worry about the whole self-employment thing.
Dan Bach had to write a letter to my underwriter.
Davis asked me for the, I had to find his transaction on the Flow blockchain.
No, I did that. I did that myself. I didn't.
No, I had to show you. You asked me, and I had to find it on the chain, the transaction between you and Dan.
I don't think that's true. I think you're
100% true.
I'm like 80% you're making that up, but no. Because Dan sent me a huge PayPal because I bought a moment for him and then he cashed out through me. So Dan had to write a letter stating that what I told my underwriter was true.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
How long do you think that will be true? How many years until you just tell your loan guy, like, I am rich off of Penelope's Country Club, and they're just like, got it. Makes sense.
Well, this goes. By the way, I was surprised you include that shot about the floor in your video on PCC.
What do you mean a shot? There's no shots. It's I only tease the ones I love in that video.
Okay. I didn't get it.
Purrs are the ultimate stable coin.
So that's what they said about Mooncats. So as far as, I forget where I was going with that. Oh no. As far as the whole mortgage process, the whole title, that's going to be replaced by the blockchain eventually. Like, you won't need to go to a title place that kind of acts as an intermediary between the seller and the buyer and the loan. Like, the smart contract will replace that.
You'll still need an intermediary because the average person is not going to be able to interact with the smart contract in that way. But
I'm just saying eventually, like, doing this, I'm like, man, all they're paying you to do right now is to give me a piece of paper to sign.
Well, they're basically lawyers. I mean, they do.
Right.
They do read a lot for you, but something that...
No, they read a lot for you, but then they just tell you, like, just sign the X. Just basically sign the X.
Yeah. So
you're not reading it. It's like terms and conditions.
Right, but those are important terms and conditions, and they look out for you. That's what you're paying them for, actually. But something that actually could be done on the blockchain and needs to is what has been done to your house over the time, right? Repairs, things that have gone broken, flooding... Last time you got your vents cleaned, why would you bring that up? What, Davis, what interaction did you have that would bring that up? So I had my vents cleaned at the beginning of the spring. And wouldn't you know, the previous owners of my house had not had the vents cleaned in the entirety of their time here. So it was just filth. I mean, the inside of my vents were like 15 years of dust and dander and pet. I mean, it was disgusting.
That's why your voice trails off at the end of sentences, because of all that.
I literally can't breathe. You
breathe it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this goes kind of just to the hardworking nature of soccer dad. Neither one of the patios have been pressure washed. And so it's taken like a week of me doing that at night after the sun goes down. Pressure washing. And it is pretty gross, but it's also one of the more satisfying things you can do.
Why does it take so many
so long?
Yeah, yeah, so many different sessions?
Because there's never been pressure washed before, and so when you have like a big slab of concrete or pebble aggregate, whatever they call it, and you're having to get like the mold and the mildew spots out. Then it's like it's line by line, and I even have like a surface cleaner. 15-inch surface cleaner, but that doesn't even do anything because there's so much grime on there.
Kitchen, have you seen the viral power washing TikToks?
I have. I did take a before and after, so I'll post those later.
Should've got the time lapse up there, Soccer Dave, his little floppy bucket hat.
I thought washer. About it, but then I'm like, this could be bad. I actually took out a closet in our house a couple months ago, and I did time lapse myself taking out, like, demoing the closet.
That's for what reason?
Yeah. What's that?
What's happening with the footage?
Oh, I just wanted to show my wife.
You made a time lapse for your wife.
I just wanted to show her that I got something accomplished. Yeah. During a day?
No, this sounds like she doesn't believe that you ever do anything, and now you're having to compile proof.
100%. 100%. That is what it sounds like.
She went out for the weekend with the kids to visit the in-laws, and so I surprised her by taking out this closet she'd been wanting to have taken out ever since we bought it in December. And that was kind of my present to her. So I wanted to show her kind of how sausage was made while she was gone, that I actually did it. You know, got that proof there. So anyways, let's move on to some best ball, to some dynasty, you know, what you guys are seeing out there in the streets. I know
I'm seeing your name in all these contests. Every time I rag for a contest, I'm like, I got to get away from this Soccer Dave guy.
Yeah, I know. It's where all the sharks are. So
do you have a badge on Underdog Kitchen?
I used to. I was one of the first badges on Underdog.
And then they
draft.
Took it away because they knew
What is the criteria for I don't have a badge on Underdog?
Because they took it away the following year. I think it's like a rolling thing. Either that or they updated their preferences. Peter should know as an investor. What's the criteria?
Yeah, Underdog, their policy is they say the badges are like pornography. They know it when they see it, you know, and they kind of just look at your account and know if you deserve it or not.
There you go. Investor Pete saying there is no criteria for badges.
You can go read the fine print. It's like 250 drafts or something.
Yeah. I'm surprised Davis doesn't have one then.
I had more than that alone last year.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they factor in quality of lineups. I mean, that's the only other thing I could think of.
Every time you take Mecole Hardman, it's like minus one. Like it's like a running tally. And then every time you take Hardman, it takes one off your tally. So I'm really at like 90 drafts.
It was Rudman going through it. He just is looking at these teams. He goes, what does James White do for this team? And then just removes the badge.
No. Rudman, any Patriot. Patriots are plus one. Yeah. If Rudman's doing it, it'd have to be someone else.
Have you seen that even the Patriot bros, the Rudman bros, they are on the flippening of Ramondre over Damian Harris now?
Yeah.
Because we were fighting that. Yeah.
Gotta be. Yeah. Ramondre is Ramondre and Rashad White, I think, are smashes right now. Dave, thoughts? Rashad White, who does he play for?
He doesn't like him because he displaced Keyshawn Vaughn. That was supposed to be Keyshawn, what Rashad White is, Dave.
I like Rashad's honesty. I like his just the way that he is willing to be transparent. And that's all we need in today's environment is transparent players that say what they think, not any filters.
You're talking about his viral DM where he told people to put respect on his name.
Yeah, and he's not Ronald Jones. Like, stop comparing me to Ronald Jones. Like, I'm not Ronald Jones 2.0.
Not very similar players at all.
And I think it was also clarified in a follow-up tweet that he wasn't actually compared to Ronald Jones, but clearly he had a bone to pick with this.
He does not want that stink on him for sure.
Yeah. All right, as far as your dynasty best ball drafts, ours is coming to a close after like 2 weeks drafting. It feels like the longest 6-round draft ever in the history of dynasty best balls. But that's what happens when you have just a lot of guys who they don't really care that much about speed of their drafts.
You want to hear a funny dynasty best ball rookie draft story from, because I'm in one of the first quarantine startups that Leone commissions. I didn't do like some of the sicker auction ones that that Davis and those guys did follow up. But anyways, so I'm on the clock. I don't get a notification that I'm on the clock, and I get a DM from Dink. I'm like, why is Dink DMing me? He's like, hey, you should pick here quick. I was like, why? I was like, I didn't even know I was on the clock. And I guess Adam had timed out ahead of me, and then Deke was right after me, so he wanted me to quickly get the ticket so he could pick and screw up. But then Leone had like auto reset the clock, and so Deke didn't get his thing pushed through there. So I just want you guys to know, Drew Dinkmeyer out here grinding micro edges in dynasty.
He literally it is one of my favorite qualities of Drew. Like, we co-manage 2-3 teams together, and like he like Drew obviously should not care about these leagues, right? There's no financial motive for him to care, but he'll be like literally like messaging me on Slack at like 2 o'clock in the morning, New York time. He'll be like, you know, I think we should drop this guy in our keeper league and then add a defense for Monday night so that we have the optionality to play, you know, one or the other defense. It's very impressive.
So last week I met up with Dink. Did I tell you what I did with him?
No.
Yeah, you got high.
No. We went to a ping pong bar. Have you guys ever been to a ping pong bar before?
No, but I've heard of these. Is it called like Spin or something?
Spin. It's called Spin. Yeah. Yeah, and it was pretty wild. You know, I had beaten Dink like 11-1 whenever he was here in Nashville. But it was a little
If we say ping pong, CSU is going to show up in the chat and start challenging people.
Here's
against.
The thing, like it was pretty cool. Like I don't know if they could do it in Nashville because you know, everyone's already got ping pong, but someone was explaining to me like there's not a lot of places that can house ping pong tables in the city, but there were like legit ping pong players there. And the best thing is you didn't have to retrieve your ball. There's just a huge bucket. You would serve and the ball goes wherever the ball goes, the ball goes. And they've got someone who cleans up like a stable boy who has like this fancy contraption with a net and goes and just picks them all up and then puts them in your bucket again.
And that sounds honestly incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, I let Dan follow along. So Dan was there and I felt kind of bad because I was probably one of the worst ping pong players there. And Dan's even worse than I am. So, you know, people were let. I think he got beat left handed by a guy. Yeah, it was bad.
Tough was week bad. For Dan Bach.
People on the internet are being mean to him.
Well,
we don't love to see it.
Any other good New York stories, Dave?
Did you go for NFT NYC?
Yeah, I was one of the 1500 speakers.
These like IRL NFT meetups. I mean, honest to God, to me, they sound like the worst time.
Please don't flood my Moonbirds meetup.
Meeting up with other people who own the same non-fungible token as me to make more money, it just like that does not interest me.
What about a Swolecast meetup?
That sounds fun. That's something we all enjoy.
None of us make money on.
That is not related to my bags, but like what? And like, why do I want to go to a Bitcoin conference to meet a bunch of fucking weirdos who like
conference would be like your echo chamber.
No, I don't really like the Bitcoin bros these days.
Are you decoupling from Bitcoin?
I mean, I'm not decoupling from my bags, but I'm decoupling from people who like spend all day like just who all they do is complain and all they do is like ask Gary Gensler to classify Ethereum as a security. Yeah. These people have lost the plot.
So you've got $1,000, Davis. Someone has $1,000. They've never invested in crypto or NFTs. Where do you tell them to invest it in?
Sign up through Coinbase through my affiliate link and buy $1,000 of Bitcoin.
Oh, so you're still telling them to buy 100% Bitcoin though?
Yeah, as like the first thing you buy, that's what you should buy.
But not diversifying at all with ETH or anything like that.
I'm a big Cardano maxi these days. No, yeah, I mean, you should just buy $25 of Bitcoin, $25 of Ethereum every week for the rest of your life, and then retire happy.
The Bitcoin guys, they have enjoyed dancing on the graves of the UST and stuff. I mean, they're absolutely loving it right now.
Yeah.
These people cannot see the forest through the trees. They're the most distracted tree people that I have ever seen. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, just begging for regulation that will have a massive effect on
their bags. Just like please like can we just do anything possible to get the long arm of Johnny Law involved in our trading? Like it's so bad.
One of the guys at the ping pong bar he actually is in favor of regulations. He thinks it needs to happen now. And that's all
I mean, what's this regulation? Just a random dude you met at the ping pong bar that you're talking crypto with?
No, he's like Soccer Dave. I'm like, yeah, here I am. So no, he was at our table. But this is like this way does full time. So anyway,
I mean, what regulations are people expecting that will be good for the bags? There's none.
I think not good for the bags, but just for the health of crypto in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Matt Damon telling people to buy AVAX on a crypto.com commercial during the Super Bowl is bad, but so like, that's fine.
I had forgotten about AVAX.
People love it.
Still?
People love, there are a group of people on the internet that will still tell you that Terra Luna is coming back. Like, people will just love, it just doesn't matter. If they're up on a bag or if their bag is big, that's their thing.
Dylan says, is Tuttle still in WP program? What's WP program?
What's up with Dylan with this, all his acronyms today? MJ and the Sunny SW.
Witness protection.
Witness protection. Good, Davis. That's actually pretty good.
Really? I thought it was Kitchen had given him a blog assignment in WordPress.
WordPress, yeah. The only thing I can think of is WordPress as well.
Maybe he's editing MLB projected ownerships in WordPress.
Yeah, Dan doesn't even ask to come on the show anymore. Or like, the link's posted in the Swolecast chat, and he's working too hard these days.
I mean, there's only 7 MLB games today, so yeah. He can't be working that hard.
Davis, embrace the simple life of farming. Forget your Bitcoin bros.
Hey, I have a garden. I have a garden to tend to.
Here's a meetup. I just Scott Fish just announced a Boston Fishbowl satellite live draft here in Boston, my neck of the woods.
I'm going to be really upset. Did he contact you before about this,
Peter? He did not. I'm not that important.
Okay. So maybe Nashville still has a shot. Like, I will be really upset if Nashville is not one of the live locations, because it's a shoe-in. Did Scott not see the draft in 2019?
And like, Scott, if you are watching this, Kitchen already said he will do 30 minutes of autographs. He doesn't want to push it to 45. It's generally too much, but he will do a tight 30.
30. Yes.
A tight 30.
Sure. For sure. I will do whatever. Like, we'll make it happen. But like, he hasn't even contacted me about it. And I even like have replied to his tweets. Like, let's go to Nashville. So maybe we should ask to have our own Swolecast location and we get to choose it.
It's just the four of us in our own four-man league.
No, we go to the beach and we draft there.
There we go.
I'm not taking any more trips this whole summer. I'm tripped out, dude. Yeah.
Hang on. I never got like the full recap from the Bachelor weekend. How did it go?
I mean, we played so much golf. We played so much golf and the courses were so hard. They were so hard. Yeah, they were long and just, you know, fairway bunkers and water and every green is protected. Oh, I mean, it was hard. It was
were there
really
people
hard.
Behind you that were like getting annoyed because you are playing so slow?
No, it's like a $500 round. You have plenty of time to be out by yourself. No one. This is not you know, Nashville Municipal or whatever.
Wow, shots at Dave's par 3. Bang, bang.
But yeah, no, it was a blast. The house was so big, Pete. Like, we could have invited, like, you guys all could have rolled in. It would have been.
Oh, well, I should have took you up on your invite. That
you big golfer, Dave?
No, but I could drive the, like, it was like whenever I went with Pete, or CSU, and Bird Wings and Donkeys DFS for the DK back when I was DK Pro, and I was, you know, kind of that was part of the B footage that we were getting, and like I just drove the golf cart for them.
Yeah, we had a couple buddies who didn't golf, and they just came and hung out and drove the cart.
Yeah, for me, it's about the camaraderie.
Yeah,
it's just about the...
and we just played a lot of cards. And everyone got real drunk.
What is that dynamic like of everyone getting drunk at your bachelor party? Is that weird for you or no?
No, I mean, all these dudes I've known for like a million years. Yeah, it's all good.
I felt like I was there because I did finish the season of the Ozarks on Netflix. So that was kind of, I was there.
I actually lied. It wasn't the Ozarks. It was Table Rock Lake, which is similar. I mean, it's same vibe as the Ozarks, really. It's right next to Branson, Missouri, which is like the worst place in the world. It's like a tourist trap, but for like Midwestern hillbillies.
I've got a little bit of an issue with the ending of Ozarks. I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody. I just felt like
that's really big. If I didn't have a heart out at 5, we could talk about it after the show.
It was just like unoriginal. All right. Let's talk about Landry to the Saints, shall we? Man, what does this do for this Saints wide receiving core?
I think it makes them all a little bit worse. And The one thing you could spin it as a positive is maybe they want to let Jameis cook. I mean, maybe committing some free agency dollars to a wide receiver that they don't really have. I mean, they are 32 of 32 teams and like cap health. That's the only positive I could find. But like Olave, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Jarvis Landry all want to run the exact same route. So I don't really know how they're going to make that work.
Yeah, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm confused like Davis, too, where it's like they didn't let Jameis cook at all last year, and now they've really been beefing things up. I know Mike Clay had a tweet kind of looking at even just projected target shares, and the math doesn't really add up if you kind of use those guys as like historical market share of receiving yards. So I don't know. They could be legit fun if we get, you know, Tampa Bay era Jameis in this offense.
My question is, why does Jarvis mean they're going to air it out?
I mean, it's just spending resources on more. Like last year, there was no reason for them to air it out. They had no one who could catch the ball.
Yeah, Juwan Johnson was their most efficient pass catcher. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm just saying if Michael Thomas and Jarvis are like, I mean, it's like Slant Boy 1 and Slant Boy 2, right? Like, how much are they letting Jameis cook? Is my question.
Oh, I don't think at all. That's like the problem. Like you have these guys who want to run these short little routes and you're not going to let Jameis do his thing. So it's just going to be play good defense and average depth of target at like 7.6.
What would happen? I was listening to you talk with Liam. Do you really think Taysom's going to be a thing by the end of the season again?
I don't think he is, but I think the odds of him scoring, let's say, 6 gadget touchdowns plus the odds of him starting, let's call it 0.5 games at quarterback, suggest that he's probably a guy you need to be drafting in Best Ball Mania because he's classified at tight end. Had they classified him at quarterback, obviously it doesn't matter. And I do think if Jameis were to get injured, Andy Dalton would get the first crack at it. But Taysom probably gets the third crack at it, right? Like I think he would be ahead of Simeon or Ian Book or who, I don't even know who their ostensible third quarterback would be. But I mean, it doesn't it just feel like as a tight end 3, like what other guy is giving you that value proposition that late in drafts?
Yeah. I mean, the real question is, what does this new coaching staff think?
Well, it's not. That's the thing is, it's not really a new coaching staff. It's just everyone got stepped up a rung.
Right, but I mean, the thesis was Sean Taysom was him. A Peyton boner. Like, yeah, through and through.
Well, I guess we'll probably find out, right? Like pretty early on. I mean, the thing is he is more likely to be a dead pick than not. But so are most of the guys where he's going, and he fulfills the weakest position, right?
I think I'm not even opposed to it. My problem is I've just been doing a ton of 2 tight end builds, and so obviously Taysom makes sense as your third tight end.
You gotta take him as a third. Yeah,
so I just haven't been getting a ton of those, but yeah, I definitely want to sprinkle some in when I really punt tight end.
Okay, so now we got the leftover guys: Julio, Will Fuller, Manny Sanders, and then OBJ.
I think Manny might be done. I don't know if I would include Manny in that group. Okay. Yeah. Does not seem like there's much demand for his services.
Fuller, Julio, and Odell. Those are the big dominoes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Odell, you're having to wait a bit. for that ACL to get healed. So where does Julio, like, does Julio or Fuller, did either of those guys sign with Baltimore?
No. I think Baltimore's good with what they got. Because I think Baltimore
doesn't
want.
What do they have?
Bateman, Duvernay, Tylan Wallace, and they got a bunch of tight ends. They took Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kolar.
Right. So even if they go with like a two tight end like they did originally with Lamar, like how can they be good with what they have? Would be my question. Like how many catches did Wallace have last year?
He might not have gotten any.
Like one, maybe that. And then you've got Duvernay, who you don't know what he's going to be doing.
Fuller would be a perfect fit there. Perfect.
Great fit, Ravens.
GreatFitRavens.com. Marquise Brown gone. They need reliable deep threat. You don't want Bateman to like show. I know that Andrews is there, but from a wide receiver perspective, you don't want him to have to be.
Well, Duvernay can do it. Devin Duvernay can be the deep threat guy. He's really fast.
But I did draft him in both of my.
I mean, Duvernay. Would Devin Duvernay, who is 24 and ran a 4.3. Are we sure he's worse than Will Fuller at whatever state Will Fuller's brain and body is in? Because that's the thing, is it wasn't even just the injury with Fuller, which he Instagrammed the picture of his finger and it was all messed up. But there were like reports he like wanted to retire.
Yeah,
he just like didn't enjoy football anymore.
Well, to me, like Fuller is a similar premise as like Taysom Hill, right? A lot of the times it doesn't hit. But when it does, I mean, we know what the upside could be.
Sounds like Davis is saying that Duvernay is the league winner for 2022.
The thing is no one, there's no consent. Like I literally ask people this all the time and I get 1/3 Duvernay, 1/3 Wallace and 1/3 Prosh.
Prosh is not happening. I will go.
Maybe
out
it was settled in who said Prosh.
He got his answer from a college football board. Prosh is not happening. Prosh is a slow, short slot wide receiver. Those targets are going to go to Mark Andrews. There's no need for James Prosh.
Hey, did Jack ever come out with the chicken tendies, the kitchen tendies?
He did.
Snapback kitchen.
We did a lot in thinks on Club Top Shot a couple weeks ago, how many tendies he had sold up to that time. And Mike had such a bullish answer. He said like 400,000 tendies. And even Jack was dying laughing at that guess.
Well, good for him. You think this World Cast could get like
a... Take of all time was that he would take a Nikola Jokic NBA Association NFT over a Moonbird.
That take will not age well.
Yeah, no. I mean, Jack had, I've tweeted this a few times, where Jack told me that Ja was the most overrated point guard and that he would take Zion over Ja easily. And this was, a year and a half ago. So
that was a popular debate on CTS over the years, too, the Ja versus Zion.
Yeah, so, this Wolfcast...
Zion with Dave's money.
Kitchen, I know what you're getting at. You're saying what would be our branded food that we would sell?
Well, no, I was saying this Swolecast needs some, we could be endorsers for this product. Just send us some. We'll eat it live on air.
The problem is, I've already tried this. It's available in select cities and neighborhoods right now. It's been a slow rollout.
I have no idea what you guys are referring to.
Are you familiar with this Kitchen? You know what's coming here. I'm going to ask Davis, like, do you know who Mr. Beast is?
Oh, yeah. The chocolate bar. You don't know who Mr. Beast is? Oh, my God.
He's the biggest YouTuber. He literally gets like 100 million views on his videos. What's
his thing? Like, does he play games?
No.
First, it was. Well,
It doesn't matter.
Giving away a lot of stuff. He created the real life version of. What was that Netflix show?
Yeah, Squid Games.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that article whenever that was going around.
So anyways, I think there's this, the company is called Pop Kitchen and they do like these brand deals with influencers. And so they have like a Mr. Beast burger and then there's Pop Kitchen locations throughout. And so you can order for delivery that specific thing. So if you're in New York right now, you can have snapback tendies and fries and mac and cheese delivered right to your apartment.
We should we should pay Corain to do that.
So what would Swole Cast food be?
I mean, blizzards, right? Our own take on a blizzard, Blizzies. A milkshake.
Blizzies. Oh. We all add one ingredient, like everyone chooses. Like David chooses the flavor of the ice cream, and then me, Peter, and Tuttle all choose like a topping or a mix-in.
It is unfortunate that we have to call it Kitchen's Kitchen, too.
We love it.
Swole Cast Kitchen's fine. Or the Swole Kitchen, you know.
I'm trying to think of a good pun. Mole Cast? I don't know.
You went deep with that one.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep that in the bag for off-season content. Long-form engagement goals.
I'm grinding the calorie tracker again that I used in my weight bet with you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Are you getting back on the horse? The LGN plan?
Well, I bet on a great workout plan. It's like the most fit I've ever been in my life, but I just want to, I don't want to be fat for my wedding pictures.
I get it. Cause even though I'm, you know, some might say a little bit husky, or thick, I do look back at the wedding pictures and I'm like, ooh, man.
Yeah.
That was sexy. Like my kids will always see that and be like, wow, now I can see why mom actually wanted to marry you. So I get it. I understand. Peter's just going to be like the same. Or what were you like, Peter, when you got married? Were you as buff as you are now?
Wow. That was nice to hear come out. No.
Thank you.
He's probably more buff.
I had no.
I think this is like personal growth type thing. Yeah.
When I got married, it was actually like the 6 months leading up to it was the first time I was like, oh, I should, you know, purposefully try to exercise and get in better shape. Like I was like, oh, I should eat salads. That was like the very first time I ever considered thinking about exercise and health because I just had I was 23 when I got married. Like my metabolism was still in good shape. I didn't have to really do much. And then, you know, once you hit the mid 20s, you're like, oh, I actually have to make a concerted effort.
Wow. You guys have been married for a long time, Peter.
Yeah.
2009. Yeah. Yeah. No. 2013. 2013. I've been married 9 years.
Have you seen, I know we got a hard out, but have you seen those glucose monitors that you pop in?
No.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's an app. I think it's called like a GCM or something like that. But yeah, it's like glucose monitor that you pop into your skin, attacks your skin, and then like it tells you all of your glucose levels at all periods of the day. Like,
seems like that'd be useful information.
I thought you were gonna say it like shocks you when you reach for a piece of sugar when you've already got over your allotment.
Yeah, I do kind of want to do it just so because like I've gotten back into the intermittent fasting stuff, but I would like to see my glucose levels when it goes from like, you know, the 18-hour fast to a blizzard, like see like exactly what my body is doing. At
leave
that
it
moment.
To Kitchen to justify a blizzard just to see how it read on the stats.
Dave,
just my normal routine.
You and I,
yes.
We should do a bet because I bet you can't lift more weight than me at any Olympic lift. We should do a bet.
Like, what do you mean?
Bench press?
Bench press?
Oh, you can probably bench more than me, but squatting and deadlifting? Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
I wouldn't do any squatting or deadlifting because my ACL is such that, like, I can't really squat, right? But if you want to do a bench press, sure.
How much can you bench press?
I don't really, you know, at Planet Fitness, there's not dumbbells. But,
yeah, they don't have it.
Barbells, rather. It is dumbbells. I don't know. The most I've ever done is like 225 12 times.
That's very impressive.
That's what we call the that's over the Christian McCaffrey zone. That was always my goal was to get over. I think he did 9 reps of 225 at the combine.
Yeah. So
225 is so much. People don't even realize how much that is to bench press.
All right. So now we only got 5 minutes left. But now how much do you like? What's your max right now? Like what can you do 10 times? I don't really care about max. What can you do 10 times?
125.
And you want to do a bet with me?
My tricep, my left tricep is super weak.
I get it. So I got to nice. And my,
And wives have a horrible time.
You just challenged Kitchen, Dave, to the weight off.
Well, I'll lose that one. I didn't know he was gonna come to me with I tore my ACL, so I can't squat. I can squat and deadlift a lot relative to my body weight.
I mean, I might even just do it just so we can compete. You know, it feels good to beat you.
Yeah, we should do it.
So how much do you squat?
The most I've done, I think I could do more. The most I've done is 300 on both.
Yeah. See, I just don't think I could do over 300 with my knees.
It's just one of those things where I like,
are you going deep squats? Like, are you going like, yeah, hard pass. Yeah.
Who of you guys would win in a mile race?
Oh, Davis easily.
And I don't even run. I don't run, but I would. If we both had a week to train, Kitchen probably would, because I hate running so much.
What about a shorter distance, like a 200 meter sprint?
Smoke him. Yeah.
I got a bad hamstring, so he might be right. people see this, the above the waist, like, wow, look at that guy. But below the waist.
Now the image I have in my head is Davis jogging around the track, Kitchen on the inside on his riding lawnmower. Just
Kitchen, bro. I really mean, like, for the quality of your life though, like you should be, I can send you some stuff to work on your knees for real. Cause my knees used to be not great either from skateboarding. And Davis,
you've never had like a really bad ACL tear.
Well, regardless, I can send you some stuff that will make your knees feel better.
The mentee becomes the mentor.
Yeah, send me that, Davis, because I've never looked at this before. So yeah,
No. Do you know Knees Over Toes guy on Instagram?
No, but I know that that's a popular thing to keep your knees behind.
Yeah, you're not supposed to, dude. That's not the way the human body works. Think about the way your foot strikes, or think about walking down the stairs. The whole theory is that people train themselves in a really fragile way. And so
I'm gonna interrupt my yoga teacher next time she tells me to make sure my knee isn't over my toe.
Yoga, actually,
knees guy on Instagram.
yoga is different. I would never I would never correct a yoga teacher, but the stuff that like the very basic stuff in this guy's book is like, my knees feel like I'm 20 again.
Do you think we clickbaited people today saying Swolecast hot best ball summer, and we talked about the Patriots backfield for 30 seconds and the Saints passing game for a minute and 30 seconds during a 60-minute show?
Yeah, we might have to change the title. I did already have Blundell come up with the thumbnail with all the topics that you had mentioned. So I think Landry is on the thumbnail, but everything else, yeah. Well, I just want to talk about like the size of these contests, and like there's just a – It doesn't feel like there's any way that they can fill all of these contests. DraftKings
Underdog will fill, no sweat, but DraftKings trying to fill an 835,000 person best ball contest might not go.
The best is all the people who are like, dude, these drafts are so soft. They're so good. And then it's like, well, wait until DraftKings gives out 400,000 free tickets and ruins the integrity of all the drafts. And there's all these super teams.
It's so true. It's like, I know for a fact that like these teams I'm drafting on DraftKings right now are so dead because that's going to happen. But I can't help myself.
I did this. Like the one team a couple years ago, they got pretty far in the DraftKings best ball championship, like it was in one of the free drafts that they gave to everybody. So for sure, 100%, like you're gonna see some weird stuff by the end of the season, but hey, the best to them. All right, final thoughts, Pete, before we get a hard out?
No, you know, please join me on my journey to become an engagement farmer. As I described in my video, it's not kind of in my blood. It's something I have to work at. It's something I have to teach myself. And I'd love for us all to grow together, Dave.
Yeah, I remember the days when you were like, you know, you didn't want to be a starving artist, but you also didn't want to be like clickbaity. Mm. And now you're realizing that there is some form of clickbaitiness that you have to have.
Yeah.
In order to be an engagement farmer. So I'm interested to see this. personal growth. Sometimes you need to fudge the title a little bit. Right.
I can learn a lot. Sometimes you got in the guys, game of life, sometimes you have to name it hot best ball summer and then talk about landscaping for 60 minutes.
That's right.
This is so funny, but Jake Tribby, T-R-I-B-B-E-Y, just had the best meme for what we were just talking about.
Wait, the underdog, you talking about the versus zero RB?
I don't know. No, I don't know anything about this guy. But
me and Silva got into it a little in the Jake Tribby thread last night.
Oh, I did see your tweet, Silva. Yeah, you got owned.
That one felt good.
Silva said to me like a month ago, like, bro, let's do a take cast. And he has big timed me every week straight.
Why does he want to do the Swole cast?
I think he just, no. I don't know.
All right. We're going to get him on the Swole cast. That's it. All right.
Is thanks that everybody. You had on? Because Silva big timed you?
Yes. No, that's not true. I actually had a crypto guy lined up, and then he couldn't make it work this week.
Rugged.
Right. Literally rugged.
All right. This has been a fun Swolecast. I'm not sure about informative, but hey, on brand. And we're just going to be here all summer, hot best ball summer. We're going to be here for, and leave your comments. Please give us a review, thumbs up, whatever. And we'll see you next week on Swolecast and rotogrinders.com.